this is the challenge of the church, no matter what kind of time we are in, is to bear a positive witness no matter what it is we're facing, no matter what's going on. God, you're not surprised, and we should not be that surprised either. So as we consider how we bear witness in this world of hurt, we're going to look at some of our backgrounds. Well, we have a world that's always been a world of hurt, really. I looked at some plague histories. We're so focused on this coronavirus that we keep talking about nothing will be the same. We keep talking about the world is going to be different. We keep talking about we won't be in the same world when we're finished with this episode that it was before. Well, that's always true, but I want to let you know that we've survived pretty well over the great ages. I was just looking up some plague histories. In 430 BC, there was a plague that wiped out 2/3 of the population of Sparta while the Athenians were held it under siege. 2/3 gone. 165 AD, Antonine plague, in the Roman Empire, it lasted for about 15 years, and it spread through the troops and in so many places. It had symptoms that included fever, sore throat, diarrhea, and if the patients lived long enough, some sores. That even claimed Emperor Marcus Aurelius as one of its victims. There was a Cyprian plague in 250 AD. In 541 AD, in the 6th century, the Justinian plague that occurred first in Egypt and then spread through Palestine and the whole empire, because indeed they were trading things on ships, people were moving around. It changed the course of history for that world. It didn't really end until nearly half of the world's population was gone. 800 years later, the Black Death, which was a bubonic plague like the Justinian plague was, it spread like wildfire over all of Europe and the world. A fleet of ships had docked in Italy with most of the sailors dead is what brought it to Europe. And then it spread like wildfire through that age. The official figured out that the disease was contagious, and so that meant that when any sailors came to Italy with ships after that, they first had to stay on board their ships for 30 days. Well, then they decided that needed to go longer. And in fact, it's from that time in Italy where they held people for 40 days that we get the word quarantine, which means a 40-day time. And so we still use that word today. That plague killed 200 million people around the world, 1/3 of the world's population. And London never got a break. For the next 300 years, the plague kept resurfacing about every 40 years it would. And then finally, the Great Plague of 1665 was the last one and the worst of these outbreaks, killing 100,000 Londoners just with there in the city. All public entertainment was banned. Victims were forcibly shut into their homes to prevent the spread of the disease. Red crosses were painted on their doors along with a plea for forgiveness. Lord, have mercy upon us. Anything sounding familiar in this? Smallpox was common in Europe for centuries, and three out of every 10 people who got that disease died from it. But there was some background immunity. But then the global exploration brought the disease to the New World with the most devastating effects possible. The History Channel's article says that the indigenous peoples of modern-day Mexico and the United States had zero natural immunity to smallpox, and the virus cut them down by the tens of millions. There hasn't been a kill-off in human history to match what happened in the Americas. 90 to 95% of the indigenous population was wiped out over a century. Mexico goes from 11 million people pre-conquest to less than 1 million. Centuries later, the good news is smallpox became the first virus epidemic to be ended by a vaccine. And of course, we can go on with this. We have other things like the swine flu or Spanish flu that happened later on and happened within the historical memory of most of us, although most of us weren't around for it. But this is another one of those times where it looks like things are pretty challenging, but we will get through. This has always been a world of hurt. Well, since then, we've tried to deal with our contagions with medicine. We've tried to deal with it with care, aftercare quite often. How can we cure this disease? And now we're at the point we're able to deal with working on how can we keep this disease from spreading. All of these things are challenges that won't be over soon. Earlier we sang a song by Catherine Scott, We Still Believe, where she wrote, from the thankful heart to the battle scarred, from the comforted to those who grieve, from the mountain top to the empty cup, from the waiting to those who have received, we cry out as one. We still believe, we still believe, we're still surrendering our hearts. Your faithfulness is our reward. We still believe, we still believe, and though the journey has been hard, we will confess your goodness, God, we still believe. From the reborn hope to the weary soul, from the quest for truth to those who see, from the soaring wings to the shattered dream, from the broken to those who have been healed, we cry out as one. We still believe. We're still surrendering our hearts. We still believe. Though the journey has been hard, we'll confess your goodness, God. We still believe. Through the fire, through the pain, we offer you our yes again. We offer you our yes again. We still believe. Catherine Scott, in an interview later, said, it's at the end of the day we get to look God in the face and declare, no matter what else we faced, we still believe. But learning how to declare that means learning to be comfortable with the presence of God in the Holy Spirit that is sent when we most need it. And that confidence in God is what gets us through in a world of hurt. It's our great and our solid testimony. It comes from the promises of God. This world of hurt will be overcome by God. We still believe is one way of saying we live in trust of God's love. So as we bear witness in a world of hurt, we look around us and see so much that's going on. In this world of hurt, we need a witness of love. People are hurt by isolation, They're hurt by desperation. They're hurt by loss of income, by loss of hope. This is a world of hurt, facing loss of health and loss of death, a loss of wealth, a world of hurt because of the restrictions which bring a creeping fear of our loss of freedom, if not our loss of life. These are challenging times, and people all around us are struggling to get through. This is a world of hurt that desperately needs the witness of love. Bishop Timothy Clark of Ohio said it well: the world at its worst deserves the church at its best. You hear that? The world at its worst deserves the church at its best. The church at its best lives in trust and acts in love, shares its hope, and behaves fearlessly. The church should not behave as if it is powerless, but know that the Holy Spirit is always our help and our hope. If we're going to bear witness, a witness of love in a world of hurt, we need to know our Savior knew what we would face. And to hear him as he speaks peace and power to us. This is the same peace and power that was at work in believers during the Black Plague that wiped out a third of the world's population, during all those other plagues that have hit us so hard. And here it is. We live in trust because we're not from here. That's good to know. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The important part of that is this message that says, if you were of the world would hate you, but because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. See, those verses, not of this world, you've seen stickers, you've heard that said. If we understand that we are not from here anymore, in Christ we are his, in Christ we are part of the heavenly kingdom. We live in trust because we're not from here. And we can live in trust because we know whose we are. Jesus said, I chose you out of this world in 1519, but also in 1520 to 21, he says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Well, they don't know him who sent me. They did not know who Jesus was. But Jesus said, you are mine. A servant is not greater than his master. I chose you out of the world, he said in verse 19. And then he also said, look, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. The world is not, the world's evil is not held back entirely against God's people. After all, Jesus said, look what I have to go through. Do you think that if they killed your master, that you're going to get by this without any stress or injury? No, our world of hurt needs the hope of our love. the hope that we know that God loves us, the hope that we know that we can love others, the hope that we know that we can never give up on that kind of trust and love. We have to know we're not from here. We have to know whose we are. And we also have to know that we are forgiven. This is how we can live in trust. We can know this because of who Christ is. We can know we are forgiven. John 15, 22 to 25. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. Well, they have listened and not believed. That's the they. We want to be the us. We want to be the we that is part of the trusting people. We can trust in God. We can live in trust because we know we have listened to what Jesus has said. We know that we can say, He has redeemed me because of His death on the cross, because of His spilt blood to cover my sins, because of His resurrection to prove that what He said is true. We know that we are forgiven. We're not like those who haven't listened. When we enter into forgiveness, we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ that moves us from where we are closer to where we should be as the perfected children of God. We are brought into the family. We know we are forgiven. So because of that, we can live in trust. We don't have to beat down any rivals. We don't have to take over any place in history. All we really need to do is continue to live in the trust that God knows who we are. God so loves the world, even those who are not yet saved, that He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes would not perish but have eternal life. We can live in that trust. We're not from here. We know whose we are. We know we're forgiven. And also, we live in trust because the Spirit of truth is with us. John 15, 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." As Bishop Clark said, the world is at its worst deserves the church at its best. Living through the power of the Holy Spirit, living as those who have been brought into the family of God, living as those who are redeemed for a purpose so that we might bear witness to the world of hurt, bear witness of hope, bear witness of love, bear witness of power, bear witness of forgiveness, bear witness of Christ in this world of hurt, and we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit and the Father and the Son wrapped up in these verses. The Trinity is all there because we need the completion of all of our God, not just living on a thread, but living in the wholeness of who God is. This Spirit of truth from the Father bears witness about Jesus. Our hearts know that this is true, and we begin to find the power of God in us to bear witness about Jesus, because He's whom we've been with since our redemption. From the beginning, He said to His disciples here, we live in trust. We live in trust because we're not from here. We know whose we are. We live in trust because we know we're forgiven. We live in trust because the Spirit of truth is with us, and that Spirit of truth is with us so that we might bear witness of Christ in this world of hurt. That's a gift of God, so we can be who God wants us to be. And then we can live in trust, because finally we know this world is not our home. In John 16, 1 and 2, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. Well, you think we have trouble these days? Every disciple of Christ has had to face persecution until our modern centuries, wherever they were, because the world hates the message of love that Christ brings. And we need to bring that message of love in such a way that the world knows that God loves them. We bear witness to Christ because we bear witness to his love. We bear witness to his grace. We bear witness to all he is doing in our lives. And we live in trust because this world is not our home, and because no matter what the world throws at us, we can still live in trust. Jesus said to his disciples there between the upper room and the garden, "And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." The hour comes for our witness to Christ. The hour comes for our trust and our hope in God. The hour comes that we might honor him in all things. And when we've endured everything that the world throws at us, we discover that we can also live in trust because we know he has been with us from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Because I was with you. Oh, we have a God who is a God that is with us. When we live in trust, no matter what the world throws at us, we can wait and we can worship. This is part of the lyrics of a song, recent song by Lincoln Brewster, a 2018 copyright. He did a special private concert you can find online of this, which is a song of waiting and worship. It's called "While I Wait." And the words say, "Deep inside my heart, I know you've won. I know you've overcome. And even in the dark, when I'm undone, I still believe it. I live by faith and not by sight." And he sings this, "Sometimes miracles take time. While I wait, I will worship, Lord. I'll worship your name. While I wait, I will trust you, Lord. I'll trust you all the same. When I fall apart, you are my trust. You are my strength. Help me not forget. Seeing every scar, you make me whole. You're my healer. You're faithful every day. Your promises remain. Faithful every day. Your promises remain." The chorus again goes, "Though I don't understand it, I'll worship all the same. I'll worship with my pain. You are God. You are worthy. You are with me all the way. So while I wait, I will worship, Lord, I'll worship your name. Though I don't have all the answers, still I'll trust you all the same. While I wait," some of us feel stuck in the waiting. but we can still bear witness to the truth. We can prepare what we'll be doing to bear witness to Christ. We are called to bear witness of God, of our Savior, of our Lord, of His love, and of our love to the world, even in this world of hurt. The world has always been hurting. We have hurt along with it. We suffer, but we worship. We worship. Some of you feel very stuck. Well, wherever you are, worship. Some of you feel very alone. Remember, the Holy Spirit has been sent as your helper, so you can trust, you can worship. Even when you're feeling powerless against the pain or the illness or what's going on in your family, you can still wait and trust and know God is with you all the way. Let us pray together. Father, thank you that you have given us your marvelous grace. Thank you that you have offered to us the purposes of the gospel. Thank you that you have promised your presence through the Helper, the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, that because of the Son and the Father, we have this witness of you within us. Lord, that this witness might pour out into a witness of love to a world of hurt, that we might be active in the healing parts, that we might be active in the restoration parts, that we might be active in sharing the good news of God, that we would be active in showing that we can trust God all the same. We can worship Him no matter what. We thank you, Father, that you're worthy of our worship. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.